You would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And then also, if you'll turn over to Acts chapter 9, we'll spend most of the morning in Acts, but we're going to kick off with Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Would you pray with me? Father God, it is indeed my prayer that the words of my mouth in these moments and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place might be so very pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. As we turn to your word, would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear, so that we might be who it is you want us to be, so that we might do what it is you want us to do. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are spending a few weeks remembering together who we as the people of Belfair Community Church are called to be at the start of a new year in order that we will know what it is we are called to do. Last week we remembered our call to abide in Christ. First and foremost, to be a people who make our home with Him, who live in real, genuine friendship with the living God. And this week, we come back together and we ask what it looks like to be a people who are growing together, who are living in genuine friendship with one another. It's the second part of that passage in John 15. This is when Jesus tells us to love one another just as He has loved us. Because how we share our life together, it matters. When I was in seminary, I was at a luncheon one day where a long-tenured pastor came and he was fielding questions from all of these young ministers. One of my classmates, he raised his hand and he said, how do we deal with this thing called loneliness? The seasoned pastor looked around the room and he said, who in this room is serving in full-time ministry? And hands went up all around. And he said, and now if you're not lonely, put your hand down. Maybe one or two hands and the whole room went down. And the speaker said, well, there you go. We've got a room full of lonely pastors all hanging out here at a luncheon in a seminary, sitting in circles, talking about being a lonely pastor. He said, I don't know, just a crazy idea, but how about you get out of here? He said, how about you actually pick up the phone and invite another lonely pastor out for a drink? Said, like soda, of course. He said, but you see, we've got a whole bunch of lonely people in this world who are all a little bit too prideful or maybe just a little bit too shy to be the first one to make that slightly awkward phone call that could potentially be life-saving. Simply say, hey, I'm lonely, and I've got a hunch you're lonely. Let's work on not be lonely together. Maybe we could try being, I don't know, friends. It sounds comical. But this doesn't just happen in seminaries or just with pastors. Whenever I talk with all of you, one of the most common themes that I hear among us is this real struggle with loneliness. A struggle to really feel connected to your very own church family. Sometimes I want to do what that pastor did that day and on a Sunday ask everyone in here, who could use more friends in the church to just raise their hands. And then I want to say, awesome. Now look around. And in a few minutes, not just this minute, but in a few minutes, leave this place and meet up at Dairy Queen. Have a cheeseburger and a blizzard and be friends. Because you see how we share our life together, how we do friendship together right here in the church. It matters. And sometimes I fear that we have forgotten just how much it matters. Even though the author of Hebrews tells believers not to forsake meeting together, the truth is, every passing year in America, Christians are neglecting to meet together more and more. There's all kinds of theories for why. The one you hear the most comes to, in some shape or form, by saying that with all the options that Americans have now on Sunday mornings, it's just too hard to go to church. There's too many other things to choose from, to which I can't help but just stop and scratch my head, because the entire book of Acts is about a people who are locked up in some hidden room somewhere, worshiping in the dark, unless the authorities find them and kill them. It seems that hard is just a matter of perspective sometimes. No matter what researchers say is going on, I believe that at the heart of it all, behind it all, it seems that somehow we have simply forgotten that we are a people who are meant, who are called, created even, to be together. And not just sitting in the same room, breathing the same oxygen for 1 hour a week, but a people who are actually sharing our lives with one another. You see, we will never fully be the people our God has created us to be unless we are doing it together, growing together, committed to Christian friendship together. And so in line with that this morning, we're going to follow one unique Christian friendship in the Bible and seeing what these two shared together. We'll consider our own call to Christian friendship right here in our context, in this church, with these people that you can see even here and even now. Their names are Paul and Barnabas. Their story begins in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. When Paul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Christian friends grow together by seeing and affirming one another. Paul, he was a devout Jew. He was determined to stop Christianity in its tracks. And if you know the story of his conversion, he's met by the Holy Spirit on his way to persecute more Christians, and his life is absolutely transformed in a moment. And right then and there, Paul is eager. He's eager to go out and preach the good news, but he hits a roadblock immediately when the other disciples are too afraid to let him come in and be a part of them. Paul has had this life-changing experience, and there's no one in the world to share it with. None who will leave the comfort of their own group and take a risk on letting him in. None except for this guy named Barnabas. Somehow or another, it seems that Barnabas took the time to watch Paul and to observe what his gifts might be. Barnabas took some time to listen to Paul and to hear the heart that was behind his story. Barnabas takes a real risk on befriending Paul, and not just for himself, but then on going and sharing his own friends with Paul. We're all Pauls in need of Barnabases. And we are all Barnabases called to seek out who the Pauls are right here in our midst. You see, every month or so, we've got people in this church who get baptized right there, just a few feet away from us. And when they do that, they're trusting us. When they do that, they are asking us for help. They're the Pauls. They're these brand new believers, and they're telling us that Jesus Christ has done something in them, and they need us to see them and to hear their testimony and to walk alongside them and help them know what their gifts are so that they can go out and serve our God with us. And all the same time, they're also saying, and would you maybe consider also inviting me to be your friend? Because I can't do this journey alone. You know, I've overheard many of our longtime church members talk about church. I hear a lot of things in my office. And what I hear a lot is people talk about how they don't really know anyone in the church anymore. And I never know if that's a good thing or bad thing, the way they're saying it, but all I can think of is, wow, thanks be to God. What an opportunity. What a great chance to reach out and invite brand new folks to share life together with us. What a great chance to come into this place on a Sunday morning and rather than beeline for our same seat and for our same group of friends that we sit with every week, instead to be a people who are resolved to look around and find out who among us needs a Barnabas, needs someone to grab them by the hand and be the one to say, you know what? I've got some time. How about you tell me your story? Who needs someone to notice them and to say, you know what? I see you've got a gift. Let me tell you how I see God using you, and let me be the first one among us to get to call you friend. Not just to wave and smile, but to actually call you friend. And Christian friendship, growing together, we must see, hear, and even affirm one another. Because the way we share our life together, it matters. Paul and Barnabas' friendship just takes off from this point. We find them again in Acts chapter 13, the very beginning of that chapter. While the church in Antioch they're talking about says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Christian friends grow together by serving our God together. When the church is ready to send out its very first missionaries, these two friends are chosen to go together. And these verses echo of Luke 10, when Jesus sends out the 70 in twos for their very first missionary experience together as well. We all are at least decent at math, good enough to know that if they had separated and not gone together, they could have covered twice as much territory as individuals. Same with Paul and Barnabas. But it seems all along we serve this God who isn't always most concerned with efficiency, but with how we do our life together. And going as a team, they'll be able to be more courageous together. Together, they'll be more creative. When one friend is flat out of ideas on how to reach the lost in whatever city they're in now, the other might just come up with something new to try. Together, they'll have more energy. Someone to keep them encouraged when it feels that all this work and all this sacrifice is for nothing. Christian friends serve God better when they do it together. It's just that simple. I remember being 22, and there I was in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, bags packed, already checked, heading to Cairo in just a few hours. And I knew in that moment I wouldn't see my family, my home again for 2 years. I remember my nerves, my emotions were completely in overdrive, totally afraid of the unknowns that this new assignment from God would bring. I was thinking, you know, I'm still on U.S. soil. I could still turn back, defer 6 months. When I got to my gate, there was Trent. Trent's my friend who I had spent 2 months with just before that in training. And he was also going to be on my team in Egypt, and he also happened to be flying out of Dallas-Fort Worth. The second I saw him, everything within me changed. There was this sudden sense of security in taking on this big, crazy adventure. I wasn't going to do it alone. There in the airport at that gate, we began to share about how our goodbyes went and how excited we were to get to our new home and meet our new team. We began together to dream about how God might use us among the Egyptians and how much we were going to miss Tex-Mex. We were bonded. We were friends. We got to serve together. And with that, we both had the courage and the creativity needed to just make that one faithful step and get on the plane and face the world that was coming our way. You see, we are called to grow together by serving together. I wonder, what is it that you sense in your heart that God has called you to do? And just as important with that question, I wonder who it is that he's calling you to do it with. We're called to do it together. Not surprisingly, it's not long before things get tough for Paul and Barnabas on the mission field. At the end of Acts 13, they're still in their very first stretch of towns. Lots of people have already come to faith through Paul and Barnabas as witness, and a whole lot of people have already turned against them. Acts 13, verse 50 says, "But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city and stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their region. So they shook the dust off their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Christian friends grow together by overcoming obstacles together. Paul and Barnabas faced their very first episode of persecution right off the bat. And together they get up and keep on moving forward undeterred in the work God has given them to do. How many of us in this room can testify to the fact that just about the time you start getting really excited about following Christ, either for the first time or into something brand new, it's not going to be very long before the enemy steps in and completely tries to derail you. And it's not just us. You see, on their very first stop out of Antioch, Paul and Barnabas suffer. And that's not just a coincidence. It's the fact there's an enemy in the world, and he is real. And if they had been all alone at this, the odds are they would have packed up their bags right then and there and headed back to Antioch for a regroup. Said, wait a second. I didn't exactly sign up for this. But together, they were able to lean on one another and move ahead to the next spot God had for them together. We need each other to stay strong when the course with Christ becomes much too hard. Christian friends grow together as they overcome together. As I begin to think about my life just thus far, there are so many times I remember in ministry that there was just discouragement and times that I know I would have cratered if there wasn't a friend there to encourage me on or a friend there who I felt responsible to encourage on. Way back in college, me and my friend Rachel started international student ministry on campus, reaching out to our students who had come from all over the world. I remember we had this passion in our hearts to do this, and the first 4 weeks, nobody came to anything we were going to do. And we knew it was from God, or we thought. And 1 week, I'd be ready to quit. The next week, she'd be ready to quit. But never on the same week were we both ready to quit. Thanks be to God. A few months in, we had a dozen students from Japan who would join us every week to learn English and talk about Christ together. If either of us weren't in that picture, it would have never happened. Much too discouraging. I remember one afternoon in Egypt, living in this small town in the Delta, me and my friend who were there in this village all alone, about 2 hours from Cairo where our team was, came home from our job at the school and our entire house was turned upside down. It was clear the authorities had been there that day, looking, searching for anything, evidence of who we were and what we were about. Our whole stash of Bibles that we had to give out were gone. We looked at each other and wondered, should we get out of here? Should we go back to Cairo this weekend and escape? And she and I wavered back and forth, but never at the same time. One of us was always strong enough to say, no, let's just wait it out. I think we're going to be okay. And we were okay. Even here in this town, sometimes I get a little bit discouraged. Sometimes. And my very first Sunday in this church, God gave me a dear friend, my friend Heidi, who's a Presbyterian minister, and she just came to visit that day. And she preaches in Seattle on Sundays, and she knows that Sundays are hard for pastors. They just are. And so Sunday afternoon, she'll always check in. How was your morning, and how are you? Come to the house. I'm going to light a fire. There's soup going. Let's talk about our Sundays and let's regroup for next week. Every single week, we try to do this. And sometimes I wonder, if she wasn't here, would I still be here? We're meant to do this together, to overcome together. Finally, in chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas, they help each other remember who they really are. I'm not going to read all these verses, but in this story, we find a time when the crowds actually come to love these guys, and they begin to call them gods. It says Barnabas they call Zeus, and Paul they call Hermes, and they want to stop and worship them. They're bringing out sacrifices and garlands, and Paul and Barnabas, in that moment, they don't fall for the flattery, not even for a second. But instead, they tear their clothes, and they rush out of that crowd shouting, "We are men just like you. We bring good news to turn from these false gods and know the living God." Together, they're able to remember who they really are, regardless of what the crowd has to say. You see, Christian friends, they're the people who encourage us when we're down and dejected, the ones who remind us we are sons and daughters of the living God, heirs of and ambassadors to his kingdom. And Christian friends are also the ones willing to humble us when we start to think we're really something quite special in this world. I wonder how tempting it would have been for Paul or Barnabas to relish in the crowd's praise just for a minute if the other guy wasn't standing right there. You know, the other guy who heard how loud he snored at night, and the one who heard him slurp his cereal, and the one who had to listen as he complained for miles about the blisters on his feet as they walked from town to town. Both these guys knew in the presence of the other, if they even entertained accepting this title as God for a second, the other would quickly bring him back to reality. And that's exactly what Christian friends do. They help us remember who we are, lifting us up when we're low and bringing us down when we're just a little bit too high. May we be those friends for one another. You see, I pray often for relationships right here in our church family, all the time. And when I pray for so many things. I pray that every person who calls this church their home would be able to immediately name at least two or three people in this church family other than their immediate family that they would call on in a second if they had something to celebrate or were in need of some help. I pray that no single person in this church eats lunch on a Sunday alone, and that new folks in our midst would never be able to be with us for a few months without being invited to break bread at somebody's table. I pray when our people step out of the baptistry that men and women who have spent some time walking with Jesus meet them right there, eager to get their phone number, with a promise to follow up in the week ahead and start reading through Scripture together and start praying together. I pray when our folks are out of church for a couple of weeks that we look around and we notice their absence and we make that effort to pick up the phone and give them a call and just let them know that they're missed because they belong to us. That's what it means to share life together. I pray our adults would know the names of our children and our youth and that we might actually be a family to them, see them as individuals, not just the kids. Whose kids are they? What do they like to do? What are their interests? How are they growing up in Christ? I pray that our people who are stuck at home, that they would see us, that they would hear from us often, knowing that they are not forgotten. And whenever I visit our folks in the hospital and I ask them, so who's been to see them? I pray their list of church folks who drop by would be much longer than the list of their work colleagues. And I don't always find that to be the case. Because you see, we are family. And family simply doesn't forget about each other. Even when life is busy, I still have to call my mom. It's just the way it is. I pray that we'd commit to being here consistently at church. First and foremost, because we're in love with the living God. And we can't not come running into his presence and enter into this beautiful gift of worship anytime the doors are open, because we just can't stay away. And then I pray after that, that you'd be here just because we need you here. Your presence, your friendship, your encouragement, they actually matter to us. And when you're not here, we actually do feel the void. In my former church, one of my friends, she met a single mom who was a brand new believer. And this friend would tell me about how her relationship with this young mom had totally transformed the way she understood church. She was honest with me one day and she said, "You know, Jamie, the last few years I have struggled with church." She said, "I wasn't really being fulfilled and I found myself every week finding so many excuses not to engage." And she said, "But then I met Kayla." And you know what she said? She said, "Now I get up on Sunday mornings before my alarm goes off, excited to worship because I know when Kayla walks in the doors, she's going to look for me, that she needs me to be there. She needs me to be there to ask about her week and to give her a hug and to encourage her to press on." She said, "I've quit coming to church just to have my needs met or just when it's convenient. I'm coming for something, for someone other than myself." And she said, "And I love it." She said, "I love church because I love God and because I love Kayla." You see, I pray we'd all have Kaylas who we know are looking for us on Sunday mornings. And just knowing that, I pray we would jump out of bed each week with a grateful heart that we get to be a part of something so sacred, something so significant as the lives of others growing with Christ. If that doesn't get us excited for church, you guys, I don't know what else will. I just don't know. I pray that we'd be the kind of people who never become so comfortable with our group of friends just as it is, that we cease to invite others in, like Barnabas. I pray that our parents would prioritize their children's spiritual growth by making every effort to bring them to Sunday school, where they delve into God's word on their own level with teachers who love them and have spent a week praying for them. It's absolutely crucial. I simply don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't for those years that I got to sit around the table and learn the stories of the faith that would soon become my own. And I got to see examples every week of adults who didn't even have kids in the room pouring into others just because they cared, left an impression on me. I began to think, wow, maybe they're onto something. It was in that Sunday school classroom as a child where I began to meet those who would become my lifelong friends because we were growing up in Christ together. As our parents are growing in Christian friendship, might we give our kids every opportunity to grow too? I pray as the kids are gathering down there, our adults would invest in one another and grow together in God's word up here. I pray that our Bible study classes that happen on Sunday mornings and Thursdays and throughout the week, that they might be overflowing, that we might have to go buy some more chairs somewhere because there are too many people who are just too eager to grow in friendship with God and others, and they are resolved to make a great effort to dig into this word together, to seek understanding together. They are committed to genuinely praying for one another every single week. It's hard to pray for each other when we don't know each other. And when we're not together, we have no idea what's going on in your life. What do we pray for? I pray for the day that our classes are overflowing because we just want to know each other so that God can have his way among us. Because truth is, growth doesn't happen by accident. I pray that every week we would all walk in these doors asking our God to show us who to meet, who to sit by, who to engage, who to invite into our homes, who to invite into our hearts. When's the last time you had someone in this room in your home? Maybe it's time. I pray like Barnabas with Paul, we would take a risk on one another, that we would inconvenience ourselves for the sake of one another, that we would truly prioritize our life together. And it is a priority, because we're not going to grow into maturity in Christ on our own or just by chance. We have been called to do it with friends, with the church, together. And yes, that takes commitment, takes priority, takes a lot of time, and it takes effort. There's just no simple way around that. Yes, it's hard. Relationships are hard. But is it worth it? You bet. You bet. I'm in this morning with you. And I wonder, are you in with one another? With me? And in together, are we doing it so that God's kingdom might come and his will might be done on earth? Yes, even in Belfair. Just as it is in heaven, and that it might come through us as we live our life together. These are just some of my prayers for BCC. What are yours? What are your prayers for our life together? And how is God calling you to be an answer to these very prayers on our behalf? Let's do it. And let's do it together. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you so much for each and every one in this room and for those who are a part of us, who are away this day, that you have called us to live in this world as your people, to know you and make you known, and you've given us people to do that with. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen the friendships in this place, that you would grow our love for one another, our commitment to each other, our willingness to take a risk on each other, to open our hearts and lives to our brothers and sisters, to disciple one another, to be discipled, to serve together, to dream about your work in the world together, to overcome obstacles together. God, would you have your way among us? We're busy. We've got families that already demand a lot from us. Some of us feel like we are already relationally maxed out. And yet, you've called us to love one another as brothers and sisters, as you've loved us. And so help us reprioritize. Help us make space so that we can love well. Help us commit to your people in a way that reflects your love and commitment to us, because we are yours and we do desire for you to have your way among us in this room so that you may have your way among us in this world. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.